Two keys. How ingenious. Not only that, Fowler said, but each of the four keys, two to each safe, is individually protected. Two are stored in the railway office itself. A third is in the custody of the bank's senior partner, Mr. Trent, whom some of you may know to be a most reliable gentleman. I confess, I don't know precisely where Mr. Trent has sequestered his key, but I know of the fourth key, for I myself am entrusted with guarding it.
How extraordinary, Pierce said. A considerable responsibility, I should think.
I must admit I felt a certain need for invention in the matter, Fowler admitted, and then he lapsed into a dramatic pause.
It was Mr. Wyndham, a bit stiff with drink, who finally spoke up.
"What's that at all, Henry? Will it tell us where you've hidden your bloody key?"
Mr. Fowler took no offence, but smiled benignly. He was not a serious drinking man himself, and he viewed the foibles of those who overindulged with a certain modest satisfaction.
"I keep it," he said, "about my neck." And he patted his stout shirt front with a flat hand. "I wear it at all times, even while bathing, indeed, even in my sleep. It is never off my person." He smiled broadly. "So, gentlemen, you see that the crude attempt of a mere child from the dangerous classes can hardly be of concern to Huddleston Bradford, for the little ruffian had no more chance of stealing that bullion than I have of, well, flying off to the moon." Here Mr. Fowler allowed himself a chuckle at the absurdity of it all. "Now then," he said, "can you discern any flaw in our arrangements?"
"None whatsoever," said Mr. Bendix coldly. But Mr. Pierce was warmer.
"I must congratulate you, Henry," he said. "It is really quite the most ingenious strategy I've ever heard for protecting consignment of valuables."
"I rather think so myself," Mr. Fowler said.
Soon thereafter, Mr. Fowler took his leave, arising with the comment that if he were not soon home to his wife, she would think him dallying with a Judy.
"And I should hate to suffer the pains of chastisement without the antecedent reward."
His comment drew laughter from the assembled gentlemen. It was, he thought, just the right note on which to depart. Gentlemen wanted their bankers prudent, but not prudish. It was a fine line.
"I shall see you out," Pierce said, also rising.